We're very glad to see each one that has been able to join us tonight. We thank you sincerely for your presence with us in our carol service. We're going to sing some of the verses of hymn number 81. Seeing yonder manger low, born for us on earth below, see the Lamb of God appears, promised from eternal years. We'll leave out the fourth verse. We'll sing verses 1 to 3. And then go down to 5 and 6, leaving out that fourth verse. And we'll ask you to stand as we sing together, please. Just take time to pray. know that we need the Lord's help tonight. We need the Lord to be with us in the service. And we need his help and blessing in every part. So we'll just still and settle our hearts for a moment. Gracious Heavenly Father, we approach your throne in the attitude of prayer, glad that we can seek thee, but very aware, Father, that we need the help of God tonight. We need your blessing to come down upon the service. We need the Spirit to come and grant us the power that we need. We want to pray, Father, that you'll help us, even as we seek thee, to focus our mind and our thoughts upon thyself, upon the things of God. We pray, Father, that you'll save us in this meeting tonight, even from wandering thoughts, thoughts that will be often the things of this world, the things of this life. We're glad, Father, that we can gather here this evening, and we just want to ask that you'll be with us. We've come to sing your praises. We've come, Father, to give thee thanks for so many blessings you bestow upon us. We thank, Father, of how you've blessed us through this year. We're mindful of your goodness and faithfulness. Thank you for safekeeping. Thank you for health and strength. Thank you, Father, for providing for us all that we have needed every day. We thank you for giving us our daily bread. We thank, Father, of all the needs of life that your hand has supplied. We recognize tonight that all that we have has come from thyself, that every good and perfect gift comes down from above. We thank you, Father, most of all, for the spiritual blessings. We think of how great they are, how many spiritual blessings that we experience. We acknowledge, Father, at times that we do not recognize the blessings as we should. We thank you tonight that we have the Bible. You've given to us the Word of God. We remember those wise men that followed the star, followed the light that you gave them that brought them to Christ. But Lord, we thank you for the greater light that you have given to us in your Word. We thank you for the light of Scripture. The Bible says that the entrance of your Word giveth light. We pray, Father, that there'll be some in the service tonight, and the glorious light of the gospel, of God's redeeming grace, will shine into their darkened heart. I want to thank you, Father, for your love. We marvel at how much you loved us, that you gave your only begotten Son to be our Savior. We remember, Father, how he humbled himself, that he came down to earth from heaven, who was God and Lord of all. Remember, Father, the wise men, it says that they came into the house and they fell down and they worshipped him. And Lord, give to us that spirit of worship even in this service tonight. We pray as we come into your house, Lord, that you'll give us the desire to worship and to praise your great name. We have much, Father, to praise thee for. We acknowledge thee tonight as our Creator. You're the one that has made us. You're the one that sustains us. You're the one, Father, that sustains this great universe. You uphold all things by the word of your power. We acknowledge thee today as our Redeemer and as the only Redeemer. Besides thee, there is none other. Thank you, Father, for how you've blessed us and that we've heard the gospel message. We've heard that good news from our very infancy, from our very childhood. So, Lord, we have so much tonight to praise thee for. Think of what we considered even of the Scriptures this morning, of the greatness of your power, of how, Father, that you're in control of all things. You sit upon the circle of the earth, and you're the one, Father, who's guiding and overruling in all that takes place. Lord, we marvel tonight at your greatness, but we rejoice that you're our God, and what a comfort that is to our hearts and to our minds. Lord, even in these days of crisis in which we're found, just to know that there is no panic in heaven. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to commit all these things to thee and ever keep us near the Savior. Thank you for our Sunday school, and we thank you for the young people in the Sunday school and Bible classes, all that have been attending in recent months. And Lord, we thank you for that. We rejoice in the good number of boys and girls that have been gathering. We pray that you'll add to that number. Pray that you'll increase the number of the Sunday school. We recognise, Father, the importance of reaching the children, the coming generation, with the good news of the gospel and teaching them the word of God. Lord, we pray that you'll bless very definitely the efforts of our Sunday school superintendent and teachers. Thank you for them. Encourage their hearts. Thank you for all the children in the meeting tonight. Bless them and watch over them. We commit them, Father, just to your care. We remember, Father, this dark day in which we're found. And we pray especially for the children. Lord, keep them and preserve them. Preserve their going out and coming in. Our desire is that you'll keep them from all the evil of this world. We know the burden on the hearts of the parents. And Lord, we just want to ask that you'll save all our children early and lead them on with yourself. We pray that you'll lead them in the paths of righteousness, even for your great name's sake. So Lord, come and help us tonight. May the Spirit of God be amongst us. May we know the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Pray that you'll guide in every word that is spoken, especially the address that will be brought. And Lord, we ask just tonight that you'll come into our midst and speak to hearts and bring them to the Saviour. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. Hymn number 75, we'll sing all of the verses, and again we'll stand as we sing Place. I'm going to ask you to take the scriptures. We're going to read a few verses that are found in Matthew chapter 2. I want to encourage the children and the young people the importance of bringing your Bible with you to the Lord's house. It's always good to do that. That's a good thing to do and a good habit to form. Whenever we were children going to church, there was always three books that you brought with you to the meetings. The first, of course, was the Word of God. The next one was the hymn book. You didn't get your hymn book in church in those days. Everybody had their own. And you brought your hymn book with you. And even at Sunday school, in addition to the Bible verses, we all learnt hymns. There was set hymns every year that you had to memorize, the same as the verses from the Bible. And the other book that you brought was the Catechism. So those were the three that you brought every Sunday to the house of God. So it's a good thing to bring your Bible and to turn up the reading and to follow the reading of the Word of God, just to follow what is being read, that it's been read accurately as God has recorded it for us in His Word. And it helps you to remember as well. If you follow the reading, you can actually see the words there before you. So we're in Matthew chapter 2, and it's the verse 1. And it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold," remember that word behold, gives us an idea that this is something that should really get our attention. "Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." So that's east of Jerusalem, east of Israel. In all probability, they came from Persia, what is modern-day Iran. Remember this morning I told you that Mary and Joseph had an 80-mile journey from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. That's quite a journey even in the days in which we live, in the transport we have. But for them to do it, probably walking with a donkey. But these wise men came about 500 miles, so it took them quite a while to get there. So it says that they came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So we'll end the reading just there. Praying the Lord will bless to every heart the public reading of his own precious word this evening. We'll just take a moment or two to make the necessary announcements. We want to welcome each one along to the service this evening in the Saviour's great name. We're very glad to see all that have come to share with us. We appreciate your presence. We're encouraged to have you with us this evening. I know there's some that are visiting with us. I see Deborah home for the Christmas period, and Sandra with David and Anne tonight as well. So to all that are visiting, we want to thank you for coming to share with us. It does encourage us greatly to have visitors in the meetings. Just to remind the children, there are some gifts for you after the meeting is over. Just encouragements, little tokens of thanks from the Sunday school and from the church. There is a selection box for everybody. That's when I say everybody, all the children that are here tonight. So all the boys and girls, even if you are not a member of the Sunday school, the little ones that are too young to come to Sunday school. There's a selection box for you as well. And Francis will be in charge of the distribution of the selection boxes after the meeting is over. And then for all the children that are on the roll of the Sunday school, those that come along to Sunday school regularly every Sunday morning, there's a little voucher for you as well to take along to the Christian bookshop that you'll be able to treat yourself. And Andrea is responsible for giving out the vouchers. So don't go home empty-handed, boys and girls. There's those few little gifts for you just to encourage you. We want to thank you all for coming, not just tonight, but we thank you for coming to Sunday school so faithfully. Every Sabbath morning, we're encouraged by that. Remember, it's very important, and it's important for us that you come to hear the Word of God. Thank the parents, too, for your support. We know the demands on a Sunday morning, how busy it can be getting everybody ready to get them out to Sunday school, and for some of the children, how long the mornings can be when you've been to Sunday school and then come to church as well. We want you to know that we appreciate very much all of your support. Just remind you of the meetings through the week. Tuesday morning, keep in mind the outreach that Noel Shields, Colin Maxwell will be doing down in the city centre. Do pray for the brethren if you can join them and support them. Remember the midweek service here on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. We'll finish at 9 or slightly afterward. We do want to gather for prayer. We're conscious of the importance of that in this week leading up to Christmas. So if you can, share with us this Wednesday evening. Remember the meeting's next Lord's Day, the 26th of December, Boxing Day. Again, we recognise the busyness of the season, the holiday time. But if you can, we encourage you to come and join with us for the services. The Sunday school and Bible classes are off for a break over the next two Lord's Days. That's the 26th of December and the 2nd of January, starting back on the 9th of January again. We thank our superintendent, we thank our teachers for all of your labours and pray that you'll be encouraged in your work. Remember, the service is 11:30 a.m. in the morning, 6:30 p.m. in the evening. The evening service is our special end-of-year gospel meeting. Our brother George Hewitt, will be giving a little word of testimony, telling us of how he knew the Lord's grace, strength and support through this last very difficult year. And our brother will also be ministering in song to us. So make that known. Keep that meeting in mind. We invite you to come and to be present with us. Remember, please, we're taking a special Christmas missionary offering next Lord's Day. That's for the new school that is going to be opened in September of next year out in Liberia in West Africa. When Miss Greer was with us a couple of Wednesday nights ago, she set out the plans, the vision that they have there. So please give us liberally to that special missionary offering as you can. Put your gift in an envelope and mark it for the school in Liberia. There's just a few of the Christmas gifts for the senior citizens that are left. If you're able to help in any way in the distribution of those, giving them out, we would be thankful to you for that. Remember to pray for Mrs. Hill in her recovery, Mrs. Mitchell. Continue to keep them before the Lord. Take time to look at the literature in the ports, the magazines at the door here as well. And there's some calendars, the Missionary Council's prayer calendar, the LTBS calendar for next year. The free will offering envelopes for 2022 are also available for you. We do sympathise as a congregation with Mrs. Hill on the death of her sister-in-law, Mrs. Jean McClure, Trevor Woods as well on the death of his father-in-law, Mr. George Clark. We want both of these families, their entire family circles, to know that they're much upon our hearts. We're conscious Christmas will be much more difficult for them in these circumstances, so we pray they'll know the Lord's nearness and grace and strength just at this time. We're going to sing the hymn number 79. O come all ye faithful, joyfully triumphant, to Bethlehem hasten now with glad accord. Lo, in a manger lies the King of angels. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. We'll remain seated. Remain seated for the first three verses. We're going to sing all of the verses. So we'll all sing the first verse. We'll ask the ladies to sing the second verse. We'll all join in the chorus. The men will sing the third one. And then everybody will stand and we'll sing the final verse together. It'll give you an opportunity to change your position just before we come to the address tonight. So number 79, please. We'll just take time to say a wee prayer again. We'll all bow our heads just and still our hearts. Father, we thank you for being with us in the meeting already. We've sensed your presence. We pray that the sense of your presence amongst us will increase and grow stronger We want to thank you, Father, for bringing us to the meeting tonight. We thank you for the desire in our hearts to be in the house of God. We pray, Father, we'll never lose that desire. We pray for a greater love for thy house, a greater love for the Word of God, a greater love for the service of Christ, a greater love even for the place of prayer. We pray that you'll give us most of all a greater love for Christ, our Savior. We pray that that will deepen. We think of the greatness of his love towards us. We pray that his love for us will constrain us to be faithful to him right until the end of our lives. Thank you, Father, for all our children. Thank you for the work that's done among the children here in the Sunday school and in the bright hours, the youth work, the youth fellowship too. Lord, we pray that that work will grow stronger. We pray that it will increase. We pray, Father, that through these winter months, you'll be pleased to bring in others, other visitors, build up the work of God. We pray that you'll maintain the testimony here. We pray, Father, that you might send us a revival. We recognize the need of that revival, the movings, the breathings of your Spirit. So, Father, just come upon us now. We ask that the message that will be brought will be a blessing. We pray it will be clear. We pray, Father, that it will be a means of speaking tonight. We pray that you'll speak through us. We want to pray, Father, that you would speak to hearts. And we want to pray that there might be some in this meeting tonight that will come to Christ at this Christmas time and experience the gift of God, eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear these are cries for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. So, boys and girls, for a few minutes, I want to speak to you, bring a little address. Does anybody think they might know who this man is in the picture? Now, I know you might think he looks a wee bit like Santa Claus with his big, long, white beard. Some of the boys and girls, or if the boys and girls don't know, maybe some of the adults might know. Because I want to tell you a wee bit about this man. And I want to tell you a special part of his life and a lesson that we can learn from it at this Christmas time. This man's initials are JC, and that's an important part of the story tonight. So this is John Calvin. John Calvin was born on the 10th of July. We remember in this country the 12th of July. So you think of 2 days before that, the 10th of July, John Calvin was born away back in the year 1509. So that's a long time ago, boys and girls. I think that's about 512 years ago. Now what I want to do at the outset, I want to encourage you to be a reader. That's a good thing to do. Take time away from the computer and the television and all every day and do a little bit of reading. And keep that up right through your life. Because there's a way if you keep up the reading, you can educate yourself. And you can get books that are suited to children, to boys and girls and young people, that'll tell you the story of this man, John Calvin. So maybe you look out for that. Maybe that wee voucher that you get from the Sunday school tonight, you could buy something like that with it. So John Calvin was a reformer. He was a great preacher, and the influence of his life is still with us to this very day. It's not a marvelous thing, boys and girls. We want to live a good life. We want to live a profitable life. We want to live a life especially that bears influence for God. And I want you to think about that. You need to come to the Lord, give your life to him, and ask him to use it mightily. Well, God used John Calvin's life mightily. Not even just when he was living, because he only lived a very short time. He died in his early 50s. So if you think of that, he didn't really have much time upon this earth. But his life still bears great influence to this day. So that's a thing to pray as you're going through life. Pray that the Lord will use your life in such a way that it will continue to speak and influence to others even long after you're gone. From this scene of time. Do you know where that city is? Do you recognize the landmark? You might like to go there for your holidays sometime. So where's that? Paris. Who said that? Good man. Well done, Sam. Paris. So there's the Eiffel Tower. So that reminds you, boys and girls, that lets you see, John Calvin didn't grow up in Northern Ireland, and he didn't grow up in the United Kingdom. He grew up in France. He was born in a place called Noyon, which is just about 60 miles north of France, or north of France, north of Paris. There we are. But 60 miles north of Paris. And he spent a good bit of the early part of his life in and around Paris. He was brought up as a Roman Catholic. In fact, his father wanted him to be a Roman Catholic priest. So he sent him to university in Paris to prepare himself for the priesthood. And then his father changed his mind and he wanted him to become a lawyer. So he sent him to another university on the southern side of Paris. But the most important thing I want to tell you that happened when he was in Paris was he got saved. And that's the most important thing in life, boys and girls. He doesn't tell an awful lot about it. Even in his own writings, he doesn't speak an awful lot about his conversion. It happened suddenly. It happened unexpectedly. When he was about 24 years of age. If you think of Martin Luther, well, there's a lot of talk about Martin Luther and what he was preaching, what he was teaching from the Bible at that time. And John Calvin and some of his friends were hearing some of those messages, receiving some of Martin Luther's books, and they came under the influence of Martin Luther, and that's how he was converted. So I want to emphasize, boys and girls, remember, you need to be saved. If you ever want to go to heaven, you want to be sure that your soul will be saved after you die. And we want to encourage you to come to Christ. We want to encourage you to put your trust in the Lord Jesus. That's what you hear in Sunday school and what you hear in the children's meetings and so on. And the reason why we speak of that so much is because it's so important. There's nothing more important in this life. The place that John Calvin spent most of his life was in Switzerland, in the city of Geneva. In fact, he spent about 30 years of his life there. That's a wee bit of the city, and there's the famous Lake Geneva. It's a beautiful spot, a beautiful setting. In fact, what happened was John Calvin was traveling, and he was traveling through Geneva. He only intended to spend one night there. He didn't intend to spend the rest of his life in that city. Remember, I told you this morning about how God overrules in our lives. Well, God overruled in John Calvin's life. There was a man in Geneva at that time, a believer, a preacher, and he was called William Farrell. And somehow it came to William Farrell's attention that John Calvin was actually passing through Geneva. And he thought to himself, he's the very man that we need in this city. He's the very man that could lead the church and preach and the word of God and teach the people. So he went to see John Calvin, and he prevailed upon him in such a strong and forceful manner that John Calvin didn't move on. John Calvin stayed in Geneva. He stayed there for almost 30 years. It was a little bit of a break. He had to leave for maybe 3 years, and he went to Strasbourg for a time. But then he came back, and for the rest of his life, he spent them in Geneva. So if you're ever holidaying in Switzerland, or if you're ever holidaying in Geneva, remember there's some things to see in connection with John Calvin. This is the Reformation Monument in Geneva. And those are four of the reformers. The man on the left is William Farrell. Remember I told you he was the man already in Geneva that pleaded with Calvin to stay. So we're going from left to right. It's William Farrell, John Calvin, and then Theodore Beza. And on the right is the Scotchman, John Knox. A few Sunday nights ago, I spoke about John Knox and the text that brought him to Christ. So that's a very important monument in the city of Geneva. And there's not just those four statues on it, boys and girls. That's the Reformation Wall, and it's 100 metres long. There's lots of other statues and things that are found within it as well. So there's a lot to learn from the Reformation Wall. Sorry. Look, I want you to get an idea. Do you see the blocks just in front of the statue? Well, if you were standing up close, that's about the height that you would be. Just to give you some idea, you see those like two blocks and then the statues are on top of them? Well, the first block's about the height of a person, or just shy of the height of a person. So it'll give you some idea of the size of those statues. John Calvin, as well, has been a preacher, was a writer. Remember, I told you to do a wee bit of reading. So the two books on the left are what are called Calvin's Institutes. That's where he set out the teaching of the Word of God, the doctrinal teaching. Do you know what age he was when he first wrote his Institutes? He was just about 22 years of age, or not much more than that. But he revised it and enlarged it a few times over the years. You see, what he had in his heart, he was thinking of the Christians. He was thinking of the Reformation. That time, a lot of Christians were coming out of the darkness. And he thought that they needed to have a clear system of what doctrines were taught in the Bible. So that's the reason why he wrote his Institutes. And then the other books on the right, those are 22 volumes of his commentary on almost the whole of the Bible. So remember, I told you he only was in his early 50s when he died. So as well as all the lecturing, all the preaching that he was doing in Geneva, teaching young men in the ministry and so on, he was a great writer. So you can still buy John Calvin's commentaries. There's only about three books in the Bible that he didn't write on. John's epistles and maybe the book of the Revelation. So I want you to think of those. I want you to think about reading. And as you get a wee bit older, even some of the older people, just to challenge you as well about a wee bit of reading that you can do. Now, I know you're maybe thinking, why are we thinking about John Calvin? And that's a good question to ask, boys and girls. I'd like you to think about that question tonight. Why, as Christmas is approaching, we're less than a week away from Christmas, why are you thinking about John Calvin, telling us a wee bit about his life? Why are we thinking about some of the truths of the Reformation? Well, let me tell you why. Do you remember a wee while back? It could have been back in the springtime. Who's this man? Just Martin Luther. Martin Luther. And what's the thing on the other side? Does anybody else remember what? We did it in the children's address one Sunday morning. It's called Luther's Rose. That was like his symbol, his seal, his motto. And he thought it out and put it together himself. Well, that was a common practice way back in those days. Remember, we drew out all the gospel lessons from Luther's Rose. Well, John Calvin had a motto as well. Now, I have a couple of pictures of it. It's very hard today to get a picture of the exact one. So when John Calvin got converted, the Lord really spoke to him. The Lord really dealt with his heart. So this was the motto he put together. You see the two initials, JC, John Calvin, and there's the picture of the hand, the open hand, and the heart. And what John Calvin is doing there in that picture, he's showing what he did when he came to Christ. And he's showing what he did with his life after he got saved. He gave his heart to God. He gave his heart to Jesus Christ. He was a man that had a heart for God. And boys and girls and mums and dads as well, that's a very important thing. So often we have a heart for the things of this world. And it's good to have interests and things in life. But remember, above all else, we ought to have a heart for God. If you think of those two letters, JC, They could stand for Jesus Christ as well. So John Calvin is showing, and this is the symbol, the motto he used right through his life. He gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And this is what he said. This is how the words around it actually translate. Again, it's a wee bit hard to get one that gives the words exactly as they were, but my heart I offer to you, Lord, promptly and sincerely. So you see again the heart in the middle, or the hand with the heart in it. So the hand's outstretched. So he's saying, my heart. And remember, boys and girls, you can't give anything greater. You can't give anything better. We read in the Bible reading tonight, the reason I chose that Bible reading was it tells about the wise men coming on their visit to see the Lord Jesus. And we read there about what they gave. You read through the passage again and see what the wise men gave to the Lord Jesus. Remember, especially they opened their treasures and so on. But I want to emphasize to you tonight that you can't give anything greater to God than to give your heart. My heart. So I want you to think about your heart tonight. I offer to you, O Lord, promptly and sincerely. So those are important words. Promptly, that means you need to do it immediately. You need to do it right away, without any further delay. Because remember, we're not sure of any other day. We're not sure of any other time. And sincerely, you know, whenever you pray and ask the Lord into your heart, you have to do it sincerely. You have to really mean it from the depth of your heart. It's not just a case of repeating words without thinking about what you're saying. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart. So it has to be really sincere when you call upon him for salvation. So here's what I want you to ask yourself. The question, what? What can you give to God? So I wonder, did you ever think about that? Christmas time's coming up. There's all that rush in the last minute shopping. You've got your shopping list, need a gift for mum and dad and granny and granda, brothers and sisters, uncles and aunts. You're working your way down the list and you're thinking of what you're going to give to everybody. Well, just take a moment tonight and ask, what can you give to God? That's a really important question, boys and girls. And I do want you to let Christmas pass this year without giving something to God. So I wonder what you're going to give. What will you give to God? What will you give to the Lord Jesus this Christmas time? Will you do the same as what John Calvin did? There's Proverbs 23, verse 26, penned by Solomon in the book of Proverbs. So here's what the Lord's saying to you tonight. You know, sometimes when you're thinking of Christmas and the gifts you're going to give, you go to somebody and you say, what would you like for Christmas? What would you like to have for your birthday? Well, if you were to come to the Lord, remember, that's good to do that. We talk to the Lord when we pray, and we want to encourage you to pray regularly, even pray every day. So if you were to say to the Lord, what do you want me to give you? Here's the answer the Lord would give to you, found in his word, written for us in the Bible for all to see. My son or my daughter, give me thine heart. So you think of that question, what can you give to God this Christmas time? Well, the Bible gives the answer. God gives the answer in his word. He says, give me thine heart. So I wonder, will you do that, boys and girls? Give your heart to God. Open your heart's door. Swing your heart's door widely open and let the Savior in. Do you know that verse in the book of the Revelation? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Do you know what door the Lord's standing at? He's standing at your heart's door. And he's knocking. Because he wants you to let him in. He wants you to open the door of your heart and let him in to be your Savior. So I want to encourage you, boys and girls. We plead with you earnestly to do that. Do you know why the Lord wants your heart? There's a very important reason why the Lord wants your heart. Because the person that has your heart has full control of your life. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So whoever or whatever has your heart has full control over you. If something in this world has your heart, well, that's the thing you're going to devote yourself to. Or somebody in this world has your heart, that's what you'll devote yourself to. So that's why the Lord asks you to give him your heart. You know the wee hymn, King of my life, I crown thee now. Well, you know, boys and girls, how you make him king of your life? By putting him on the throne of your heart. So I want to emphasize that, boys and girls, very, very strongly, very clearly to you tonight. We want to encourage you, give your heart to Jesus Christ. Just the way John Calvin did. Isn't it so clear in that image, the little picture with his hand and the heart in it? And he says, I give my heart to thee, O Lord, promptly, sincerely. So we're urging you to do that tonight, boys and girls. And this is how you do it. You pray a little prayer. This is what we sometimes call the sinner's prayer. And remember what it said, you have to do it sincerely. You have to really mean it. You have to do it from the depth of your heart. Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Don't wait till tomorrow or next week, next month, next year, next Christmas. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. You know, there's a little variation to that sometimes. Into my heart, into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in and take my sins away. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. So we want to encourage you, boys and girls, to do that. You don't just have to pray those words exactly as they are on the screen. Sometimes we give those an example of the words that can be used. But we want to encourage you with all our hearts that you'll pray that prayer and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, said that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith. So by faith you put your trust in him and you pray to him and you ask him to come in. And that's what he'll do. Remember that wee line I added in there? Come in and take my sins away. So when the Lord comes into your heart, he washes your black heart white. So here's what we would like you to have, boys and girls. A heart for God. A heart for God. What a great thing that is. Bring that challenge to the mums and dads as well. Sometimes our hearts are taken up with the wrong things. Our hearts are focused. Our hearts are set on the wrong thing. Aidan Wilson Tozer wrote a book, In Pursuit of God. I wonder, is that your desire tonight? To be in pursuit of God, to have a heart for God, a heart for his word, a heart for the things of God. David in the Bible is described as a man after God's own heart. What a description that is, boys and girls. Pray the Lord would give to you such a heart. So remember, the Lord is looking for something from you this Christmas time. And he wants your heart. You can give nothing better, nothing more important, nothing greater to him. I pray the Lord will bless that little message to all of your hearts tonight. So we'll come to our closing hymn. It's number 84. Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came, born in a manger to sorrow and shame. Oh, it was wonderful, blessed be his name, seeking for me, The hymn number 84, we'll just sing the first two verses, and again we'll stand as we sing, please.
Jesus, my Savior, too.
Take your seats for a moment. We'll close in prayer just in a moment or two. Sincere thanks again to everyone that has been able to come. We're encouraged to see all that have gathered. Be assured it means a lot to us. We're very thankful to you for your faithfulness at all of our meetings. Remember, boys and girls, to see Francis about your selection box and see Andrea about the little gift voucher before you go away. We don't want you to leave without those things. We're sorry that you're not taking part tonight. We do miss the boys and girls. We felt that that was best just in the circumstances, but our prayer isn't not but too long until the boys and girls are able to participate, come up and do your program for us. That's always a great highlight for us year by year. And we're looking forward maybe in the springtime when we come to the parents' nights that we'll be able to have the programs take place. We're sorry as well there's no supper. Again, just in the circumstances, those are nice things. We always look forward to the fellowship, and we're much in need of fellowship, but we know that you understand the circumstances in which we're found. So let's just have a wee word of prayer together, please. Father, We do praise thee for the meeting tonight. We thank you for your hand upon it. Thank you for help that has been given. We thank you for good spirit in the gathering, the spirit of God coming down. We thank you, Father, that on the evening of the Sabbath we're gathered in the house of God. And we thank you, Father, for such a goodly number that are present tonight. And we just praise thee for blessing the meeting. And our prayer is, bless all that are here. Remember those that followed King Saul those many years ago, whose hearts the Lord had touched. Father, touch every heart in the meeting tonight. Those that are out of Christ, we pray you'll open their heart like Lydia and bring them to the Savior. We pray that every boy and girl, every adult too that's without Christ, will give their heart to him even this very night. And Lord, we pray that you'll enable us all to give our hearts, to surrender ourselves completely to thee. And Lord, make us like King David, men and women that are after God's own heart. We pray for a heart for God in all that we do, so that every day we will live fully for him. Hear these our cries. Commit ourselves into your cares. We leave the meeting tonight. Watch over us through the week and over the Christmas time. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be our abiding portion, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. God bless you. Very happy Christmas to everyone. We appreciate all your encouragement to us just at this season of the year as well. Thank you.